Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is August 15th, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. Today's discussion is going to be all about General Electric GE, a household name. Everybody knows this mega blue chip company, although it has been selling off drastically over the past few years. They are shedding business units in attempts to raise cash for what might be coming, what might be the catalyst that starts the next recession. We've talked about Deutsche Bank. We've talked about General Electric before. These companies could very well be on the brink, and they could push the whole system into chaos. This could be akin to a Bear Stearns moment or a Lehman Brothers moment back at the beginning of the Great Recession. To the markets, real quickly before we get into our main topic of General Electric. The S&P gained 7 points, the Dow gained 100, the NASDAQ lost an additional 7 points, and the Russell 2000, the small cap index, was down 6 points for the day. The Dow Jones Transports lost an additional 0.8%, and the New York Stock Exchange was able to eke out a gain of 0.3%. Of course, this is on the back of the worst day in 2019 for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, losing 800 points yesterday, so it's no surprise that they got back 100 for the day. However, it appears to me that these markets are wandering alone, lost in the woods. They are searching for direction. They are searching for a tweet. That's what they're waiting for. They're looking for the next headline that something good is going to happen somewhere, some way, somehow. They're clinging to hope. And like we say here, hope is not a strategy. I'm an optimist, but I'm also a realist. And we just said the other day, take out a blank piece of paper, divide that paper in half. On one side, talk about the headwinds that are facing us. And on the other side, talk about the tailwinds that could support further upside. Your list on the headwinds is going to greatly surpass in volume, in magnitude, and in consequence, anything you're going to put on the other side of that ledger for the tailwinds. It's just the nature of the business cycle, ladies and gentlemen. It's the nature of the fact that we have had zero interest rate policy for nearly a decade, that we've had quantitative easing for nearly a decade, that we have industrialized, developed countries that are having negative interest rates, that there are real negative interest rates all over the world. This is unsustainable. We talk about this all the time. Oil is trading relatively flat from yesterday's podcast. WTI is at $55 a barrel. Brent, the international metric, is at $58.70 a barrel. Gold is trading at $1,520 an ounce. Silver is at $17.20 per ounce. Little change from yesterday's podcast as well. The U.S. 10-year Treasury is down slightly. It is now yielding 1.52%. Remember, the catalyst for yesterday's sell-off was the fact that we saw a yield curve inversion on Uncle Sam's 10-year and 2-year treasury. This is a very strong and powerful recession indicator. It works, folks. This time is not different. The only thing that will be different is this is going to make the Great Recession look like a walk in the park, if I'm correct. The VIX lost 4% and is now trading at $21.18. A couple stocks we're going to talk about here real quickly. Deutsche Bank, because we talked about that yesterday, is down an additional 3.7%. Yesterday, they were down 7%. It is now trading at $6.44. And of course, GE, General Electric, lost 11.3% just today and is now trading at $8.01. So, why did GE sell off to the degree that it did today? I don't know if you guys saw, but there is an external whistleblower, a forensic accountant by the name of Harry Markopoulos, a fellow Greek, no surprise. His team uncovered what they are alleging is massive fraud within GE's financial statements. Massive fraud. Harry Markopoulos, again, if you may be familiar with the name, is the whistleblower that informed us of Bernie Madoff and the Ponzi scheme. Now, he was raising hell to regulators for quite a while, and everybody was ignoring him. Then, of course, we were in the midst of the Great Recession, and Bernie Madoff's clients wanted some of their money. Well, the problem with the Ponzi scheme is Bernie didn't have it. And it's like divine comedy that the guy's name was Madoff. He made off with the money. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So the Ponzi scheme came to a screeching halt. The game was over. All of that money, I think it was about $50 billion. I mean, one heck of an operation that guy was pulling. But nevertheless, Harry Markopoulos saw it, called it out, and was proven correct in the end. Now his sights are on GE. An article from Yahoo Finance, there's also a brief interview, about 10 to 15 minutes, with Harry Markopoulos on Yahoo Finance. I believe you can find it on YouTube. You can probably find it on Yahoo Finance as well. It's worth your time to educate yourself and take a listen to that. I highly recommend it. We're going to talk about it here today, but I can't do justice. I'm not a forensic accountant. This has not been my pet project like it has been for him and his team for the past 7.5 months of highly qualified accounting forensic accountants, people who are in the business of finding out funny business in financial statements. So he comes out, he makes these claims. Obviously, the market knows the credibility of this guy. The stock sells off 11.3% just today. Again, trading at $8.01. So let me read some of the article here on Yahoo Finance to you. The accountant who uncovered Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme is again blowing his whistle, this time going after General Electric for its accounting practices in a 175-page report, which is available. Harry Markopoulos, a forensic accountant, is calling the alleged fraud bigger than Enron and WorldCom combined, contending it amounts to $38 billion, or 40% of GE's market cap. Let me repeat that. Is calling the alleged fraud bigger than Enron and WorldCom combined for a total of $38 billion. The report, a collaboration between Markopoulos and his colleagues and an undisclosed hedge fund with a short position on GE, alleges the conglomerate has been hiding massive losses on 8 long-term care insurance deals it executed. In the report, Markopoulos says 2 key clues put GE on his radar. So-called negative surprises, and a decade's worth of interviews with GE executives who refuse to discuss the past. The biggest clue, that this is an Enron-esque accounting fraud where the $53.5 billion in negative surprises in 2017 and 2018, which destroyed over $130 billion in market capitalization. The report notes several large negative surprises, including dividend cuts totaling $8 billion per year, $15 billion added to long-term care insurance reserves, and a $22 billion write-down. Quote, when you see that many large dollar adjustments in such a short time frame, that's not house cleaning. It's a red flag that the prior year's financial statements were false. Internal controls are weak to non-existent. And there are a lot more cockroaches in the GE earnings kitchen that you haven't seen yet. The second clue, GE executives never seem to want to discuss these negative events in media interviews. Always pointing out, I'm going to paraphrase, always pointing out, we're not going to talk about the past, we're going to talk about the future. That's all we're going to focus on is the future. The past is the past is the past. We're here today in the present, and we're going to talk about today and the future. And that's it. These were the red flags that Harry Markopoulos and his team claim that they witnessed over the years, and they said, well, we got to look into this. Because this is akin, folks, if you've been with this podcast for a while, we did a podcast early on when we started all the way back in probably February, March at the latest. We had a podcast that was dealing with an external whistleblower in regards to the Clinton Foundation and their quote-unquote charitable organization. And these two gentlemen, these external whistleblowers, also forensic accountants, were testifying before a congressional committee, and they were grilled by some of the committee members and asked some, obviously, some tough line questions, which is to be expected. The way in which these external whistleblowers, those who are looking into the Clinton Foundation and those like Harry Markopoulos and anybody else for that matter, the way they make their money is bringing these cases of fraud forward to the authorities. So in this case, it's going to be the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and it's going to be the Department of Justice, the DOJ. If these cases are brought forward, if the SEC and the DOJ move forward on these cases and they are awarded damages for the fraud by GE or any company or charitable organization for that matter, then the external whistleblowers will receive a percentage of those damages that they receive. So in this case, I mean, it could be tens of millions of dollars, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars. We don't know. We're talking about astronomical numbers. And this is just what these guys have found out. Once you start digging even deeper and you have a team of federal agents in there, who knows? The number could be a multiple greater. So the payout could be truly handsome for Markopoulos and his team. Now, the article also mentions that Markopoulos is working with a hedge fund. Now, this hedge fund is undisclosed. Markopoulos states in his interview with Yahoo Finance today that the hedge fund asked for confidentiality. The hedge fund is not and has not paid Markopoulos for this report. This is something that Markopoulos and his team were already doing. However, I guess the arrangement that has been worked out between this undisclosed hedge fund and Markopoulos is that Markopoulos will receive a percentage of this hedge fund's profits if they are profitable short selling GE stock. Well, they made one hell of a profit today if they were already in. I can guarantee you that, because I'm sure the fact that it is trading at $8 a share, they were short selling, and I'm sure they were buying puts. They were using the options market, I can imagine, and perhaps some other mechanism. But I'm sure today was a very handsome profit. Now, Markopoulos, again, he states that the hedge fund did not pay his team for this research, but what they wanted was early access to the report. Now, whether or not the hedge fund received the entire report, I do not know. The interviewers did not ask him this question, but we do know that of this 175-page report that has been released to the public, and we can find this, and I'm going to have to sift through it, that report is not the entire report that was given to the SEC and the DOJ and perhaps other federal agencies. So there's more. He was holding more back because he didn't want to tip his hand to GE as to what all they have uncovered. So, I mean, it really lets the mind wander, lets the imagination run wild, because what is General Electric hiding? Because you've had some very well-known CEOs of General Electric. One of them, maybe many of you have seen on the financial media, on the book circuit, is Jack Welch. He is, you know, an icon of business management, basically. Well, I mean, a lot of this started under his tenure. Was he aware of this? Did he direct this? That remains to be seen. It was stated during the interview that the statute of limitations on these types of cases is 6 years. So Jack Welch would be off the hook, legally speaking. Now, civilly, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know how far back they can go. And obviously, everybody is innocent until proven guilty. But to me, maybe I'm biased because the guy's Greek, but I'm sticking with him. I have a bad feeling with General Electric. I have for a while. You guys know this because I've talked about General Electric here multiple times on this podcast. When we're talking about this avalanche of corporate debt and corporate debt defaults or write-downs that we are likely going to see in this next slowdown, GE is front and center. GE is front and center. Deutsche Bank is front and center. And on one hand, with Deutsche Bank, you have a financial institution. With GE, you have a conglomerate. You have manufacturing, you have finance, and they are also in the midst, like I said at the top of this podcast, they are in the midst of selling off a lot of their business assets, a lot of their business units that generate cash flow for them. So they are basically making the business decision that we have to forego future cash flows to get a lump sum of cash now to shore up our books. The other fascinating thing that is taking place right now is the CFO is stepping down. The CFO was going out before this report came out, before this interview. So it wasn't like he comes out and then the CFO resigns or is getting fired. No, she was on her way out as Markopoulos and his team were doing their research. So that just asks, that just begs the other question. Well, why are they getting rid of this woman? What does she know? What did she do? Is the CEO aware of what's taking place? Because that then leads to another interesting question in which the interviewers on this Yahoo Finance interview asked Harry Markopoulos. They said, well, what's the crime here? What are the legal penalties? And Markopoulos goes on and say, well, according to Sarbanes-Oxley, which is a federal regulation that came into existence following the Enron scandal, it holds the CEO and the CFO responsible for signing off on all financial documents. Now, if they are found to have known or have been involved with the fraud of furnishing faulty financial statements, that they could go to prison for 20 years. If they were ignorant of the fact that it was some rogue accountant somewhere within the company or a team of rogue accountants that they were unaware was doing this, then it could be up to 10 years in prison. So it's a serious sentence. I mean, one day in jail, who the hell wants to go to jail? But, I mean, it's serious. And if this is fraud, these people need to be held accountable. Because you can bet your bottom dollar that this is not just taking place in GE. And again, of course, they are innocent until proven guilty. But I am imagining, just based off of what this guy said, they're in a lot of trouble. They're in a lot of trouble. The other frightening thing that was stated during this interview, he was asked the questions, well, Harry, do you have any smoking guns? And this guy's very matter-of-fact, and he said, I think I have a few smoking guns, yes. And it just left the interviewer, there was four interviewers around a table, and this guy just froze. He froze. I actually laughed out loud a little bit because his facial expression, he just froze where he was. He's like, are you kidding me? You have a few smoking guns? And that's not in the report. This is what he's holding back that he has just simply given to the federal agencies as well, the SEC and the DOJ. So that's just what they were able to find. These are not insiders. These are not accountants who have worked with and for General Electric. These are external whistleblowers. This is how they make their living. They have other companies on the radar that he did not disclose their names, but the size of them is sizable. Multiple billions of dollars. And again, these guys get paid if these cases go forward and the government is awarded damages. Now, of course, in this instance, if that hedge fund is profitable, which today they had to make a lot of money today, Harry Markopoulos probably made out too, if whatever their arrangement was. Now, that leads to some other interesting questions and a valid point. Well, is this market manipulation? What's going on here? I mean, he comes out, this report, and the market beats up GE. They lose 11% in one day. How can he come out and make these statements? It's a valid question. It's a fair question. I have to say, short selling is a part of a healthy, functioning marketplace. A lot of people call for the abolishment of short selling. I think that is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. These guys serve a very important function. And Harry Markopoulos isn't selling short. He's just highlighting fraud. That's what his job is. That's what his profession is. Whatever the hedge fund community is doing, whether they think it's worth selling short, that's their business. Okay? But they do a service to the marketplace, because if there is fraud, then why do you want to own it? Why do you want to own it? Because they're not going to, GE's not going to come out and tell you, well, we've been fraudulent for the past 10 years. How do you like me now? That's not going to happen. So you have to rely on these people, external whistleblowers, you know, great detective forensic teams within hedge funds or other financial communities that say, you know what, there's something amiss here and we're going to sell it short. And that's what we're going to do. And like I always say, there's smart people on both sides of the trade. The market didn't have to beat up GE 11% on this news. They could have said Harry Markopoulos is crazy. He's a loon. He doesn't know what he's talking about. His team are a bunch of nuts. But that wasn't the case. The market sold off because they must find this guy credible. And one of the reasons they found him credible was because he was a whistleblower in regards to Bernie Madoff, one of the largest Ponzi schemes in the history of the world. So the guy has some credibility. This is his livelihood. I don't think he's going to simply come out and do these interviews and file a report simply to, quote-unquote, manipulate the market. I just don't think he's going to do it. He is not the president of the United States. It's a completely different story because I rant and rave about the president doing that, and he should not be doing that. It is an abuse of his power. This guy is a civilian. This guy, his power is based off of his credibility. If people believe what he is saying, then so be it. because what else is market manipulation when the CEO of these companies or any other spokesperson for these companies come out and say, oh yeah, we have the best people, we have the best technologies, we're investing in all of these things, cash flow is going to be positive, bup, 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 bup. Is that not market manipulation? They're talking their book too. So, you know, for the if there's people out there who are ignorant of selling short or doing this type of analysis, which most of us are, including myself, I am no forensic accountant by any stretch of the imagination. I'm a market analyst. I'm an economist. I am not an accountant. I don't like accounting. I mean, could I be trained to find this stuff? I'm sure I could be, but it would not be my strong suit. I can guarantee you that. And that was a point that was made by Markopoulos in the interview. He said, well, how can so many people on Wall Street miss this? He said, well, you have to be fair to some of these Wall Street analysts. A lot of them are researching a dozen or two dozen companies. They don't have the time like we do to devote a team in 7.5 months of very thorough analysis of their financial statements. They just don't do it. And then most of them are MBAs. A lot of them might be chartered financial analysts. They are not certified forensic accountants. So that makes a big difference. It makes an extremely different difference. And if you listen to the interview, this guy is just very matter of fact. That's how I read him. Could he be full of it? Of course he could. There's a lot of people that are full of it and can talk to you with a straight face. But I don't believe that this guy is making this up. And one of the other things that was of great concern was another interesting question that was asked. What's the next step for GE if this is found to be true? I mean, you know, what happens? You know, what will they go bankrupt? Will they file for bankruptcy? And Markopoulos' answer was, well, if you look at Enron and WorldCom, once allegations of financial fraud surfaced, they filed bankruptcy within 4 months. You heard me correctly. They filed bankruptcy within 4 months. If this is true in the same case here with General Electric, this is the catalyst, folks. This is going to be the shot across the bow. This is going to start this whole debt cascade on corporate balance sheets that nobody is now going to be trusted. Nobody will be trusted because we have been in the world of low interest rates, funny money, and I guarantee you that funny business has been taking place with it. This has been a recovery, if you call it that, over these past 10 years that has been built on financial engineering, not on fantastic rates of organic growth, great productivity gains, great innovation gains. This has been off of share buybacks. It's been off of debt financing. It's been off of financial engineering. This is what happens when you have low interest rates for too long. This is what happens when you have interest rates that are manipulated and controlled by a Federal Reserve, not by the marketplace. And the funny thing that goes back and forth between the marketplace and the Federal Reserve is sometimes the Federal Reserve is ahead of it, and sometimes the Federal Reserve falls behind it. The Federal Reserve doesn't need to exist. End the Federal Reserve, period, stop, end of story. You got to do it. So this is going to be a catalyst, I believe. It's always been on my list, front and center. Now we just have an expert and his team coming out and saying this. What's going to happen with GE? What's going to happen with Deutsche Bank? What's going to happen with a whole bunch of corporate balance sheets? Because this is going to be a cycle that will continue to dig itself deeper and deeper into the ground because they're going to need more cash. And we're going to find ourselves in an environment where there's no cash. There's going to be a huge lack of liquidity when liquidity is going to be somewhat needed the most, if you will, to say, well, that's the solution. Of course, I don't necessarily agree with that because I think this system is so corrupt that it needs to go away. It just needs to go away. This whole paradigm that in which we find ourselves, this environment in which we find ourselves, it needs to go away. This will be extremely painful, but it needs to happen. That's my opinion. You can agree, disagree, whatever. Leave your comments. We'd love to hear from you. Let's start a debate on this because a lot of people are going to say, whoa, you know what's going to happen? I do know what's going to happen. It's going to be terrible, but I think it's going to be terrible regardless. But at least we can start having a conversation about it. At least we can say as Americans, you know what? We've messed up. This is enough. We cannot continue to have these good old boys clubs on Wall Street and in corporate America that continue to borrow cheap money, enrich themselves, and everybody else has to fend for themselves. I mean, you cannot have this. This is the income inequality that is at extremes. that is going to cause and is causing and has caused political division within this country. It is boiling over. We have a president of the United States who makes policy via tweets, pushes the envelope, causes more divisiveness, doesn't need to do it anymore. This is not a campaign trail, but now again, it's already 2019, mid-2019, and we are in the midst of the 2020 presidential campaign. I would have hoped and thought by now that the President of the United States would have risen to the challenge, the call of the office of the Presidency of the United States. Unfortunately, in many regards, he has not. In some, he has. I give credit where credit is due. You know this. But enough is enough. Now, you also have the president coming out today on the back of some earnings from Walmart saying that the consumer is strong because Walmart, their earnings beat today. This is ridiculous. The consumer has more debt than they've ever had. And I had to tweet the president today because I was so upset with these statements. And now he's talking about, well, the consumer's strong because Walmart beat. Walmart is a massive discounter. You know what other companies are doing good right now? Dollar General, McDonald's. You know what these things have in common? They're cheap. They offer cheap products, cheap goods. You know what that means? That means the consumer is not strong. If they were strong, they'd be going to Saks Fifth Avenue, which is going bankrupt too, by the way, and closing stores. We talked about that. They'd be going to some other shopping centers with some more expensive things. They say, we can trade up, honey. Wages are going up. Everything's fantastic. Unemployment's as low as it's been in 50 years. What could go wrong? That's not what they're doing, folks. They're shopping at Walmart. They're shopping at Dollar General. They're shopping at, they're going to eat at McDonald's. Okay, I have nothing negative about these places. Okay, I mean, I know there's a lot of people that do that. Just deride Walmart, that, you know, maybe the food's not healthy or it isn't healthy at McDonald's. You know, you can say what you want to say. But the fact of the matter is, consumers are not healthy. When bankers come out and say the consumer is healthy, that means they're paying 25, 30% on their credit card. That's what that means. When the president comes out and says that, he's repeating something that he's heard from somebody else. Because this is ridiculous. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot stress this enough. If General Electric files for bankruptcy, this is the catalyst. This will be it. This will be the shot across the bow. And it's it. This is the Bear Stearns event. This is the Lehman Brothers event. There will not be a trust in the system. The same thing that we saw in the Great Recession. Banks will not lend to each other. They will not lend to other corporations. Banks have an obligation to themselves, to their employees, to their stakeholders, to their shareholders, to make money. They are not just going to lend money to a whole bunch of corporations that are going to find themselves in panic mode because they have to make money. They're not just going to give it out as a gift. Banks are not charities, as we all know. So we're going to keep our eye on this. I'm going to have to take a look at this report, but please inform as many people as possible and protect yourself from this. Do what you have to do. Get into cash. Diversify your portfolio. We talk about that here all the time. This is a serious event. Serious event. When you have a potential fraud that is larger than Enron and WorldCom combined, what else do you need to hear? What else do you need to hear? He has a few smoking guns. This is, I don't know how else to put it. Check out this interview on Yahoo Finance. You can find it on YouTube. Read these articles. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. Thank you so much for joining me. I am Alex Kritis. Godspeed.